Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فتبسم ضاحكا من قولها وقال ربي أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأدخلني برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable, respected ulama, respected and honorable and beloved brothers in Islam, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had sent down Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam onto this earth. The dua that we make all the time, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, Allah guide us on the straight path, sirat al-ladhina namta alayhim, the path of those whom you have favored. Amongst those that Allah Ta'ala has favored are the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam. So Allah Ta'ala send them as an example for us and a precedence for us. Throughout the Quran Sharif we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has narrated the incidents of Anbiya, but one important narrative of the Quran are the du'as of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. What was the cry of a Nabi at a particular time? When we look at Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, an example, that dua that he made, Rabbi sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yadu'unani ilay. Oh Allah, the prison is more beloved to me than the desirous passion that they are calling me towards. That sums up the life of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. That he's prepared to go into carceration, he's prepared to go into imprisonment just because he wants to save himself from something that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had made haram. Now these are the various cries of the Anbiya. It comes with regards to Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam, that he would cry so much and so abundantly that he would become sick because of his crying. So on one occasion when he became so sick, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who is the knower of everything, Allah Ta'ala sends Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam to Sayyidina Shu'aib to ask Shu'aib, what is your cry? What is this cry all about? Are you crying because you want Jannah, you are desirous of Jannah? Then you, my Nabi, you have Jannah. Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam replied, I am not crying because of the desire of Jannah. In other words, this particular cry of these days is not because of Jannah. So, O Shu'aib, Jibreel alayhi salam is sent the second time. Is it because of your fear of Jahannam? Then again, you my Nabi, I will never put you into Jahannam. Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam replies that this cry is not because of the fear of Jahannam. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam once again. Then what is your cry? Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam replies that, oh Allah, my cry is my desire for your love and your muhabbat. That is the cry of this Nabi of Allah, Rabbul Izzat, Allah Ta'ala grant you and I also, that this becomes our aspiration, this becomes our desire, our longing, that we get that love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, where Allah Rabbul Izzat means everything to us. And then whatever earns the displeasure of Allah will mean absolutely nothing to us. On this, Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, what was one of his cries? Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. Oh Allah, I ask you for your love. That was the cry of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Nonetheless, coming to the topic that we are speaking about, Allah Rabbul Izzat narrates the du'as of some of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and this serves as an example and a precedent to each and every one of us. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that Allah Ta'ala had granted him the understanding of the birds and the other creations of Allah Rabbul Izzat. He understood the speech of the ants, and insofar as the ants are concerned, it is not only the understanding but the power of hearing that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had granted him. Once on an occasion, he is traveling with his entourage, and he comes to a particular place, and he hears the ants saying to each other that, enter your hole, go into your hole. Ya ayyuhan namlu dukhulu masakinakum, la yahtimannakum Sulaymanu wa junuduhu wa hum la yash'urun. That it should never happen that Sulaiman alayhi salam and his entourage and his army steps upon you whilst they do not know. Now in this also, the ulama have written so much that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, had he stepped on an ant, he would have done it unknowingly. But had he seen and he had known that there was an ant there, he would have never stamped on it, he would have never trampled on it. And this is the example of transgression of the rights of others. That we know that we owe someone, we know that we are committing zulm, we know that we have to fulfill the rights of someone, but knowingly we break the commandments of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In all of this, Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Nonetheless, when he hears this, فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكًا مِّن قَوْلِهَا, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, in this gratitude to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that, oh Allah, you have given me the understanding and the power, that is gratitude to you, so he begins to smile. But he realizes that this is a very great ni'mat of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And in this ni'mat of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he turns to Allah and he makes a dua. Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala waliday. Now the words is difficult to translate, but oh Allah, keep me restrained. Keep me restrained, Rabbi awzi'ni, on this state of mind, in this frame of mind, the state of heart, that I make shukr to you, that I appreciate the ni'mats that you have bestowed and you had granted upon me. Brothers, when we look at what Allah Ta'ala has given, and when we see what is there available for us, then our hearts need to go directly to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The ulama have written that there are three stages of shukr, of gratitude to Allah. The lowest of all of this is to see the bestowals, to see the favors of Allah, the ni'mats of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and to make shukr on that. But we have a difficulty in that also, because we have narrowed the definition of what a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala is. To us, it is all about rands and cents. Normally, 100 cents make a rand, but to us, only rands make sense. There are so many ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed. Just recalling an incident when we were in Indonesia after the tsunami. There was this elderly personality. His face told us that there is a story that this man has. A story that we need to listen to. And via the translator he explains that as these waters begin to rise, this man takes his wife and his two daughters and he goes onto a table trying to save himself from the force of the tsunami. But when he realizes that that is not going to save him, and the only other elevated place was a cupboard, which he tried to get onto with three pairs of hands, holding onto his hands. And then the man tears and he says that as I tried to get to the top, one pair of hands let loose. And then the second pair, and then the third pair. And he says, in this way, I lost my wife and my two children, my two daughters. Brothers, it is then that we realize that the people that Allah has placed around us are very great ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. The ni'mat of our parents. What about that blessing that Allah gives us the opportunity of looking at their faces all the time? But these are ni'mats that are not counted amongst us. But be that as it may, a person from Syria, a tabi'i, he says, I traveled all the way to Medina Munawwara. And when I got to Medina Munawwara, I was very apprehensive, I'm out of home. I was concerned about my company, the worry, but I went straight to Masjidun Nabawi. And when I came to Masjidun Nabawi, I found a person around whom people had flocked. And I asked, who is this personality? It was said to me that this is Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He narrated hadith after hadith. And as he had completed and people left the gathering, I waited for the opportunity whereby I would be alone with this person. He was now on his way home. And I introduced myself and I said, I am from Syria and I've come to hear hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And can you please narrate a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? He says, the man made a screeching sound and he collapsed and he fainted. He fell unconscious. I tried to help him up. After a while he gained consciousness. And again he attempted to say something, but again he fell unconscious. And then again the third time he got up into his consciousness. He attempted to say something and he fell unconscious for the third time. I was afraid, I was apprehensive, I was concerned. And then he began to narrate a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Friends, the hadith is a famous hadith. But the lesson that we draw from this hadith, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the first person that will be called to be questioned by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be a shaheed, a martyr, a man that didn't only die on kalima, a man that died for the kalima. Apparently, that's what it seems. He gave his life for this deen. And that is the ultimate that anyone can do, is to give his life for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nonetheless, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will question him, show him the ni'mats that Allah had bestowed upon him, the favors that Allah ta'ala had bestowed upon him. And Allah will ask him, that in lieu of this, how did you appreciate these ni'mats of mine? فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا In lieu of this, how did you appreciate the ni'mats of mine? Friends, again, we can go on counting these ni'mats of Allah. The person will reply, Oh Allah, I emerge in your path and I gave my life. Allah will say, No, you lie. You lie. You had done it for show, for people to say you are a brave warrior. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will call upon a scholar, an alim. And again Allah will show him all the ni'mats of Allah. And Allah will ask, in lieu of these favors of mine, how did you practice? And he will say the same thing. I studied your deen, I learned your kitab, I recited your kitab, I imparted and disseminated your knowledge. Only for you, Ya Allah, Allah will say you are lying. You had done that for show, so that people will say you are a great scholar. Then Allah will call upon a person that Allah had given him wealth. And again, the same scenario. Allah Ta'ala will place all the ni'mats Allah had bestowed. What have you done? How did you appreciate the ni'mats? That is the pun over here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person will respond, Oh Allah, there was not an avenue of spending in which I did not spend. Allah will say, you lie. You did it so that the people will say you are generous. All three groups will be flung into the fire of Jahannam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala save us. Brothers, one is to make shukr, one is to seek from Allah Rabbul Izzat. And to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for shukr. Rabbi awzi'ani. أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي. Of course, his father was Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. So the ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon me and my father. وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَى وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَى The second cry of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is that I grant me the tawfiq that I practice such deeds with which you are pleased, O Allah. Allah, you are pleased with the deeds that I carry out. Now friends, there are many deeds that we carry out. And it comes back to the same hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then are we doing the deeds for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? And this is this month of Ramadan where we have an opportunity to take stock. Do I appreciate the ni'mats of Allah and the actions and the deeds that I carry out? Are they purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad wattaqullah. This ayat is so often recited in our salat, at the functions, at jalsas. What is the message of this ayat? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah. O those who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal tanzur nafsun ma qaddamat lighad. Let the soul introspect. Let the soul scrutinize, let the soul evaluate what it sends forth for tomorrow. Every deed, the subhanallah we are seeing in this world, in actual fact, we are posting it off, we are mailing it off for the day of Qiyamah, lest we don't realize it, scrutinize it. Is it being done for the sake of Allah? Is there a consciousness of Allah Rabbul Izzat in my heart? That I am aware of Allah and I am doing for the sake of Allah. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala grant us all ikhlas and sincerity. You know, there's an incident written about a person from Iraq. This person was a very successful business person. And he would go out on his business trips, his business missions from time to time. But what happened on one occasion, that his wife had seen that there is something that is not right. They say they have that sixth sense. And don't belittle it, brothers. So she felt that there's something not right. So she sends the helper from the house behind him on one of his journeys, that at a distance follow him and see where he comes out and investigate. She was an intelligent helper. She understood what she needs to do. So the person went to another city, and in that other city, he does his business in the marketplace and he goes to a house. So when he stays there for a few days and then he leaves, this helper goes and she begins to quiz the person of the house. She finds that the person is married to this man. We talk about secret nikahs, you know. So he did it, and then she comes back home and she now reports to the lady that she's working for that this is what I have found. The neighbors have testified, they've borne witness. I've seen it firsthand. He's been to this house. So the wife of this person says to her, don't speak about it. That's between you and I. Leave it as a secret. Some months pass, this man becomes ill, and then suddenly he passes away. So now is the issue of the inheritance. This woman knows that there is someone else, and the Sharia law, they are going to share in that share, the two of them. So what does she do? She takes the chunk that is due to that lady with a letter that we know that you are married to such and such a person, he is now deceased, and this is your share of the inheritance. Nobody knows. She knows, the maid knows, and of course Allah Ta'ala knows, and this man is gone. But she sends that same helper with that whatever needed to be taken to that particular house. Now the maid, the helper comes to that house with whatever it is, and she taps at the door and she says to the person that this is your share of the inheritance of this man that you were married to and he has passed on. This lady takes out a little piece of paper, and in that paper it is written that this man had given me talaq. And besides me and my Allah, he knew he's gone. Between me and my Allah, nobody else knows about the talaq. So I am not the rightful owner of this wealth. Brothers, this is that consciousness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this takes us beyond the masjid. This takes us beyond the musalla. This takes us beyond the tasbih. This is not only in our ibadat that we become conscious of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but we become conscious of Allah ta'ala in the other facets and the other departments of our deen. Our dealings with others, our social activities with others, our interpersonal relationship with others, most especially when no one knows, and that heart of ours say to us, Allah knows. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And this is our fasting, and this is our month of Ramadan, that we develop this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, the last part of his dua, وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ, that is on the mihrab of this masjid, O Allah, cause me to enter, admit me through your rahmah amongst your slaves, and that is in Jannah, that I will not take it for granted that being a Nabi of Allah, I will be granted Jannah. But O Allah, it is your rahmah and your mercy. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq to take advantage of this month of Ramadan. Let us count the ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon us. Let us do whatever we're doing for the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Let us develop that consciousness of Allah that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala grant each and every one of you afia. Wherever the ummah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is suffering, may Allah Ta'ala alleviate the sufferings of this ummah, most especially our brothers, our sisters, our elders, our children in Palestine, in Gaza, and the other parts of the world, and whoever has whatever difficulties, may Allah Ta'ala alleviate the difficulties. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.